It is always my prayer that God's grace and his mercy and his peace would always come to you and always be yours in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "You have done many miraculous things, O Lord my God. You have made many wonderful plans for us. No one compares to you. I will tell others about your miracles, which are more than I can count." There is nothing like having a really trustworthy friend. A trusted friend is the kind of person who will support you and who can give you encouraging words even when everything else and everyone else has abandoned you. When everything around you looks like it's coming against you, when selfishness and self-centeredness of others brings contempt against you, kind words from a trusted, true friend can be that one thing that encourages you to stand up and walk right into the storm. This message is about an old, trusted friend. It's about an old friend to some and one who will become an old friend to others. That old friend that will remind you that you are not facing this world alone or anything in it alone. That old friend that will give you encouragement to face all that may come against you. That old friend is holy baptism. And I wonder how many people have ever thought of their baptism as that old trustworthy friend. The truth is, many people think of their baptism as something in the past, right? It's I was baptized, and it was at some place by someone and at some time. But that's not what holy baptism really is. As I mentioned before the service, Martin Luther taught his students one should not say I was baptized, but rather I am baptized. It's something happening now. It's not something that happened in the past. So then what is baptism? What should it really mean to us? And what does this water, that little puddle of water there, what does it do? Well, it does a lot of things. But first and foremost, it means you are forgiven. It means that you are free and you are safe and you are secure in the arms of your Heavenly Father, and nothing and no one can take you away from that. Only you can take yourself away by walking away. But nothing else has the power to take you away. No matter what may come in life, you have his name on you. You belong to him. The language in some of Scripture resembles something along the lines of a brand. Like, you know, like ranchers brand their cattle because the mark is on them. And they belong to him. He has chosen them, and it's meant to be permanent. That's how God marks you as his own. And he's going to get you safely home. It also means that you are personally connected to God forever. You've been made more than just a believer, more than just a follower. You are his very own precious child, whom he loves and he cherishes, and for whom he was willing to die to save you. How do we know all that? Because God said so. God has spoken, and that's what God said. We know it because God cannot lie. He does not lie. He does not change his mind. He does not waver in the wind with no foundation or direction. God says what he says, and what he says is true forever. What's sad is that there's people all over the world that are looking for God, trying to find God. They're trying to seek God's will for their life. They're wondering what God really wants and who God really is and what God really thinks about them. And they'll trek mountains. They'll walk deserts. They'll go without food and any number of other things, all trying to find God or God's will. The Bible tells us, seek the Lord where he may be found. Call on him where he is near. So are they obeying Scripture in their efforts? Well, how can we know where and when God is? We can know because he told us. He told us to look to his word and his sacraments. Sacraments are sacred acts or holy acts, things he's told us to do and through which we receive God's grace. They are means of grace, means by which we receive God's grace. That's where God has said, you will find me. That's where he promises to be. There is where he will be every time you look, and even when you don't. St. Paul was teaching a man named Titus. Titus is kind of a second career guy. He was an older gentleman. Paul was teaching him how to be a pastor. And the letter to Titus in the Bible is some of Paul's teachings to Titus about being a pastor and what to teach. He teaches baptism is a washing in which the Holy Spirit gives us new birth and renewal. In other words, God Almighty is acting personally in your life. He's not some distant, far-off God for whom you must seek and search to the end of your days. He's right here, right now, for you personally. Paul says, when he's writing to the congregations in the city of Galatia, he says, all of you who were baptized in Christ's name have clothed yourselves with Christ. How's that for a personal connection? It means that your Heavenly Father, when he looks at you, sees you the same way he sees Jesus. He looks on you with love and care, with concern and pride. Paul also teaches all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. One of the things we talk about in our after-school program in CASE, and it's kind of what we talked about this Wednesday, we kind of had our last lesson on what baptism is all about, was that, you know, we make baptism look very nice. We've done a lot of this. It kind of came out of the Middle Ages. We make everything kind of fluffy, right? All our angels are kind of fluffy, and baptism's kind of fluffy. But in the Bible, it's not like that. Baptism is described as something far more violent. You're baptized into Jesus' death. You're buried with him. It's about drowning that old Adam to death. Paul says, all of us who were baptized into Jesus' death. Well, he says, when we were baptized into his death, we were placed into the tomb with him. But then it goes on to say, that's not the end of it. As Christ was brought back from death to life by the glorious power of the Father, so we too should live a new kind of life. Because it's not just about drowning the old Adam to death. It's about being raised up as a new creation. There's an old hymn, many of you know it. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? The answer is, you were. You were, but you were not in the crowd or as a bystander or a spectator. You are connected with Christ through baptism. And that means you were nailed up there to the cross with him, connected to him, died with him. Which is why, as the hymn says, we should tremble, tremble, tremble. Because if Christ has not been raised, we're in trouble. But the connection doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop drowning in baptism. It doesn't stop dying on a cross. It carries you through to Easter Sunday, and there you rise with Jesus, connected to Jesus. You are made perfect in the eyes of your Heavenly Father, just like Jesus. That is what you find in a little puddle of water. You find Jesus, and you find all that Jesus is. What do you bring to the water? You bring your sin and your mess, your mistakes to the water, but you leave them behind. What does Jesus bring? Jesus brings his grace, his peace, and his perfectness. And you leave with everything that he brings, and he keeps everything that you bring. That's why the Bible says you are a new creation. It doesn't mean from that day forward, everything in your life will be perfect. We talked about that with the kids this past Wednesday. I asked some of them who were baptized last year, how many of you have had a perfect life with no problems? And I can't tell you some of the struggles some of these kids go through. Oy. But now they know they're still a child of God. And God doesn't abandon them. God has made you what he wants you to be. Precious to him. Someone in whom he finds real pride. Baptism is not just a nice thing you do. It's not just an old, dusty tradition of the church. It's not simply a faithful act to show your devotion. It is water filled with God's devotion for you. It stains you with perfection as it washes off what would otherwise be that permanent stain of sin. It is here that God calls you by name. The sign of the cross, that brand, the sign of the cross is made on your forehead and on your heart. You are marked as one chosen by God. It's one of the most important moments in your life because it is at that moment that you get to erase everything in your life that has, does, or ever will fall short of God's desire in you. So you can call, rely, and depend on God because of your baptism. That was true for those folks in the early, early Christian church 2 millennia ago. We actually have records of people who were baptized, 3 of them as infants, by the disciples. Those 3, the reason we know is because they grew up to be pastors and wrote about being baptized. I think it was 2 by Peter, 1 by Paul, and I actually said this last night and I meant to look up, I still can't remember the 3rd name. One is a guy named Polycarp, another guy's name is Irenaeus, and the 3rd guy just escapes me. I didn't check it out between last night and now. But they grew up to be pastors, and they talk about just that. They were baptized, and because they are baptized, they can call on God at all times. It was true for them way back then. But nothing has changed. You can too. It means the exact same thing for you it meant for them. That's part of the reason why I stuck that baptism font right up there in the center. I think it's the only thing I've just done where I just decided I'm the pastor, I'm just going to do what I want. I really don't do that very much. I like to kind of get people's opinion. What do you think about this? What do you think about that? But I decided this one I'm just going to do. And the reason I put it up there, and I know it gets in the way sometimes. We trip over it, and it's just obnoxious to have it there sometimes. Which side am I supposed to walk on? When we come up for communion, it's, well, now what do I do? And I know what you're thinking. That crazy pastor doesn't, right? But that's where it's supposed to be in life. That's what we are teaching the kids, and you should know too. That's where baptism should be in your life. It should get in the way. It should trip you up every day. It should remind us that without it, we are fallen sinners with no way to get up. And yet in this means of grace, this means through which we receive God's grace, we can stand strong with God, who is not just with us, but through holy baptism is within us, carrying us through, come what may. That's why you hear me weave baptism into so many sermons in this church. And I know maybe you don't even notice. I often wonder if I do it all the time. Baptism, the sacraments are often mentioned in the sermons that I give, because that's where it should be. Baptism is not just part of your life or in your life's past. Baptism is your life in Christ. So it should be woven, bound, and tied to every part of your life, because that is the place where heaven is first found. It is because of that simple little thing that just is a puddle of water, that baptismal font. It's because of that heaven will one day be a reality for you. It's because of holy baptism that we are privileged to be called a child of God, part of Jesus' life. How can water do all of that? But water can't. But God, through this water and through his word, does do that. For no other reason than simply because he said so. And that is what is ours in Jesus' name. Amen.